A $49 special launches America's newest scheduled airline. U.S. Airways will stay with Expedia. And a firehouse built with stimulus funds opens in St. Louis. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, January 26, 2010. The latest charter company to attempt to make the switch to scheduled air service as a low-cost airline reports that it sold 12,000 tickets in about 120 hours for flights planned to begin March 25th. The traffic to its website reportedly crashed the servers as customers rushed to get an introductory $49 fare to Florida. Vision Airlines is in the process of becoming a scheduled air carrier, with service to 23 cities, mostly in Florida and the South. The airline will have the new Northwest Florida Regional Airport near Destin-Fort Walton Beach as its hub for destinations in Florida. The airline has been in the charter business for 16 years and put together a business plan focused on offering flights departing from southern U.S. cities that lack low-cost direct jet service to destinations in Florida. They say that people in these cities fly mostly in regional jets, endure long layovers while connecting through other cities, and pay high airfares. Vision Airlines now offers Boeing 737 jet flights on direct routes that other airlines don't fly. Vision says it hopes to play a pivotal role in the revitalization of the state's Gulf Coast tourism economy, which was destroyed by last year's BP oil spill. Florida Governor Richard Scott predicts Vision Airlines traffic will create more than 4,000 jobs in related industries. As several airlines move to distance themselves from price comparison websites, U.S. Airways has signed a multi-year strategic partnership agreement with Expedia. The deal means continuation of U.S. Airways' full range of products and services, including fares and inventory, through Expedia, Hotwire, and Egencia sites around the world. Expedia has also committed to working with U.S. Airways to enable the distribution of its Choice Seats product, offering customers the benefit of purchasing window or aisle seats toward the front of coach class through new channels, including the Expedia online travel marketplace. U.S. Airways Senior VP Andrew Nocella commented, quote, "We are committed to making it as easy as possible for our customers to purchase tickets from U.S. Airways through as many sources as possible. More and more people want to book their own travel and they want to do it online. Expedia is the world's largest online travel company, and we're pleased that they will continue to be one of our key points of distribution," unquote. A jury in Albuquerque, New Mexico, has found Phil Mochek of Seattle not guilty on counts of disorderly conduct, concealing his identity, refusing to obey a police officer, and criminal trespass in a case in which he refused to show his ID to TSA agents at the airport. According to the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, Mochek had been accused of purposely testing the system and recording the 2009 incident with his cell phone. He had refused to show his ID and did not leave the airport when ordered to do so by TSA agents. The 37-year-old software developer from Seattle told the Albuquerque Journal that during his trial, representatives from both TSA and the Albuquerque Police Department testified under oath that you don't have to show ID to board an airplane, and that the use of cameras in public places is not against the law. The FAA Monday celebrated the completion of an aircraft rescue and firefighting building at St. Louis Downtown Airport, paid for with $4.7 million in federal stimulus funds. The structure will house employees in a fire and rescue vehicle. FAA regulations require airports with unscheduled passenger-carrying aircraft of at least 31 passenger seats to have a fire and rescue facility on airport property. St. Louis Downtown Airport now receives charter operations by unscheduled air carriers and commuter service about three times a week, was therefore required to build this facility. The St. Louis Downtown Airport is the third busiest Illinois airport in number of operations, behind only O'Hare and Midway. In fiscal 2010, the airport saw more than 111,000 takeoffs and landings. Up next on ANN, the FAA will address vague public use rules. NBAA cheers a court decision against Santa Monica NIMBYs. And Mexican police get three more Blackhawks from the U.S. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 26th. I'm Paul Plack. John Allen, the FAA official in charge of flight standards, addressed Helicopter Association International's industry forum on public aircraft operations earlier this month, and says the agency will provide clearer guidance for operators, safety investigators, and its own inspectors on how to determine when an aircraft with a civil airworthiness certificate is really a public use aircraft. The public use exemption is what allows law enforcement and other government agencies to fly, for example, military surplus helicopters, wholly outside FAA regulations. The line gets blurred when a civilian aircraft is operated on lease to a government agency under Part 135. At the forum in Alexandria, Virginia, attendees praised the FAA's proposed revisions as a good first step. Steve Bandy, chief pilot for Columbia Helicopters in Portland, Oregon, says it, quote, was a very good dialogue on a very difficult issue, unquote. HAI arranged the forum in part to bring together the FAA, NTSB, and industry. NBAA is applauding a ruling from the U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C., supporting the FAA in its stand against NIMBYs in Santa Monica, California. The city was all over federal airport improvement grants when it needed the money, but has since tried to block small jets from operating at the airport. NBAA President Ed Bolin commented, quote, access to community airports is absolutely critical for companies of all sizes, all across the U.S., and the court's decision helps ensure that this access will be preserved. It will also help ensure that the jobs, access to communities, productivity for companies, and other benefits provided by business aviation will continue, unquote. An Indian company, which has a small civilian aircraft under development for that country's domestic market, says it hopes to have an airplane to show by March. Speaking on the sidelines of an event in Mumbai, Mahindra Engineering Vice President Hemant Luthra said the company has targeted March for the rollout of its first indigenous small aircraft, but that there are still certification issues to be resolved. He was not specific. Luthra did say the company hopes to be able to sell its 5-place and 8-place aircraft at a price that is about 20% below a comparable Cessna. The Economic Times reports that the aircraft are being developed at the company's facility in Bangalore. The cost of the project was not revealed. The U.S. Department of State has delivered 3 UH-60M Black Hawk helicopters to the government of Mexico's federal police. The aircraft are the first of 6 advanced helicopters designed to support Mexico's law enforcement operations as part of the Merida Initiative, a security cooperation agreement between the two countries. The 3 choppers expand the federal police force's existing fleet of 7 Black Hawks, which have been operational since 2008. Those aircraft have become a critical law enforcement tool for disaster relief, troop transport, rescue, surveillance, and in the fight against organized crime and illegal drug trafficking across Mexico. The UH-60M, which was first flown by the U.S. Army in 2006, is equipped with an advanced flight control system to reduce pilot workload and an infrared camera for nighttime operations. Still ahead, NAS Pensacola starts its centennial party. A community college adds a sport cub to the fleet. And a Boeing airliner gets a sticky christening in Atlanta. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, January 26th. I'm Paul Platt. This year marks the centennial of U.S. Naval Aviation, and there will be observances at many Navy facilities. Rear Admiral Joseph Kilkenny, commander of the Naval Education and Training Command, helped kick off Naval Air Station Pensacola's year-long commemoration with an address to a crowd of more than 500 people. He started with an interesting historical footnote that shows the value of air power was not always appreciated. Quote, "In 1901, Rear Admiral George Melville wrote in the North American Review that neither the dirigible airship nor the powered flying machine would ever prove of any use commercially, let alone in warfare. Melville called flight wholly unwarranted, if not absurd. Well, nobody ever said making admiral gives you wisdom," unquote. The Navy officially dates the beginning of its aviation element to May 8, 1911, when the service's first aircraft were requisitioned. Marine Corps Aviation rececognizes its birth as May 22nd of the following year, when First Lieutenant Alfred A. Cunningham reported for duty as the first Marine Corps aviator. Iowa Lakes Community College has acquired a 2008 Cubcrafter Sport Cub S2 for use in its aviation program. The light sport aircraft was purchased with funds from the sale of two planes from the Iowa Lakes fleet, and last week officials from the college flew to St. Louis to pick up the Cub. August A. Bush III owned the aircraft and reduced the price in exchange for a tax-deductible donation credit. The college used $100,000 from the sale of the other aircraft to pay for the plane, which is valued at over $120,000. Ron Dewar, chief flight instructor, commented, quote, "This option allows people to do the training for a sport pilot certificate in about half the time it would normally take to become a private pilot. Therefore, it's a lower-cost way to get into flying aircraft. There are a lot of people who found because of some small medical issues, like high blood pressure, that they were unable to qualify for an FAA medical certificate. They now have a path to make their dream of flying come true," unquote. And finally today, when Linda Lloyd boarded her first Delta Airlines flight in Atlanta as a flight attendant in 1964, the airline had recently become the first commercial carrier to fly across the country in less than 3 hours and had just launched the industry's most sophisticated electronic reservation system, all under the watchful eye of company founder and then chief executive C.E. Woolman. She's now Delta's most senior employee, living and working in Atlanta, and was joined by hundreds of her fellow employees and dignitaries from across the state of Georgia Friday to mark the airline's 70th anniversary as Atlanta's hometown airline. A Delta Boeing 777-200LR was christened the Spirit of Atlanta during this celebration that took place at Delta's facility adjacent to Hartsfield-Jackson International. Delta was a small carrier focused on the Southeast when it moved its headquarters from Monroe, Louisiana to Atlanta in 1941. In the decades that followed, Delta built the world's largest connecting hub in Atlanta, and for more than two decades has remained Georgia's largest private employer and a major economic force in the region. After the dignitaries on hand gave their speeches in recognition of one of Atlanta's longest and most successful business partnerships, the Spirit of Atlanta was christened at the celebration with a bottle of Coca-Cola. Coke is also based in Atlanta. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Cessna's Bob Stangerone updates ANN's Jim Campbell on the Skycatcher and the light sport market in general. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.